George Bizot's personal struggle for freedom and justice began in his home village in Greece. He was just 13 years old when Greece was overrun by the Axis powers in 1941.
You know, as a child I learned freedom songs. The Greeks were the slaves of the Ottoman Empire for almost 400 years. The first rhyme that you learn is, O moon, come out, light my way to school, where I can learn to read and write. This was because there were secret schools in caves.
Allied soldiers sought refuge in Bizot's seaside village. His father, who was a village elder, decided to help the soldiers, but they were later forced to flee by sea. They were rescued by a British ship and ended up in a refugee camp in Egypt, but once again they were forced to escape the advancing German troops. His father then decided on South Africa as a refuge, lured by tales that one could pick diamonds and gold off the streets of Johannesburg.
Then I'll join in the song of singing when I walk on the streets of gold one of these days.
But life in South Africa was no pot of gold. His father managed to get work at a steel plant, but young Bizot could not attend school for almost 4 years as he could not speak English. He was rescued by a teacher who walked into a store where he worked.
She asked, what school do you go to? I said, I don't go to school. She said, what? I am a teacher. I'm coming here on Monday morning. You must wear your best. I'm going to take you to my school.
He experienced prejudice in high school.
The Afrikaans master, the escapers, said, Bizot, I see that your brothers and sisters are starving in Greece. You look well fed to me. And he said, not only do we feed you, we've made you clever.
George Bizot was always quick to point out that not all Afrikaners were bad, recalling a teacher in high school who helped him with his Afrikaans, critical for tertiary admission. However, his marks weren't good enough to get into medical school, so he opted for a Bachelor of Arts instead. It was during this time that Bizot fell in love with the law.
I didn't even bother to apply to medical school.
How did your dad feel about that? Was he
was disappointed, I think.
During his university years, he came to the attention of the then-fledgling apartheid state.
And when Malan came to power, he said that the white universities should not take black students. There was a protest meeting. I was a first-year student, and I made a speech, and I said, if wanted equal treatment of all the students of this university makes me a leftist, I'm proud to be one. Next morning, in the Transvaal, links Gesind and Trots Darop. Front page, the leaders of the Greek community found my father in Pretoria. I asked my father, what did you say to them, father? And he said, I told them that you were over 20 and it wasn't for me to tell me what to do. And I had this family support throughout my life.
It was in these years that his lifelong friendship with Nelson Mandela took shape. Their friendship raised eyebrows. Bizot recalls a time when he was babysitting his then boss's children.
I remember that Nelson Mandela came to the house in the motor car, parked in the driveway, came through the front door, went with me to the dining room, and we sat down. The door was slightly open, and they would from time to time look in with this curiosity. Nelson Mandela saw them, I apologized. No, he said, you don't apologize, George. When white people come to our house, my children ask me, why do I allow white people to come to our house? I tell them that some white people have black hearts.
But his work and relationships with so-called enemies of the state came at great personal cost. For 30 years, he was denied South African citizenship and risked being kicked out of the country if he ever returned to Greece.
I paid dearly for it. I was refused citizenship. I couldn't become an attorney, but I could become an advocate.
I have fought against white domination.
Bezos is most well known as Mandela's lawyer during the historic Rivonia treason trial. Bezos contributed to one of Mandela's most powerful speeches, widely quoted even today.
I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society. It is an idea for which I hope to live for. But my Lord, if it needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
He pleaded with Mandela to include the words, if needs be, in that speech, as the death penalty was still a strong possibility.
It may have helped, but what I think saved their lives was not those three words. It was the Nelson Mandela bravery and Walter Sisulu and Governor Mbeki. They took responsibility for what they did, and I am supported by some evidence that the United Kingdom and the United States actually put pressure on the government that there should not be a death sentence.
Bezos continued to represent liberation activists even after Mandela was behind bars.
I think that I had difficult times. I got a threat from Mr. Foster that my toe bought court.
The rope is getting shorter.
It's shorter when I was defending Brown Fisher. But I learned that there is nothing worse than fearing fear. I ignored it.
He appeared at numerous inquiries set up to investigate deaths in detention, including those of activist Ahmed Timmel and Black Consciousness leader Steve Biko. 2 decades into democracy, he lamented the fact that many of these families are yet to find any closure. He wrote a book on these inquiries titled No One to Blame.
Well, I can say that we deserve better. I oppose the applications for amnesty. I succeeded in my opposition, but the prosecutors said we haven't got evidence. And they said, well, you know, there are no witnesses. It's a long time ago. We can't charge them.
How do you feel about that?
Hurt.
Bezos was as dominant in the liberation struggle as he was in the building of a democratic South Africa. He was legal advisor for the ANC in the CODESA negotiations and helped draw up the interim constitution and the Bill of Rights. Bezos remained active as a human rights advocate, from successfully pushing for the abolition of the death penalty to representing Zimbabwean opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai in his 2003 treason trial. He also jumped into action when 34 miners were killed by police during the Lonmin strike action in Marikana in 2012. Under the Legal Resource Centre, he led the team representing the family of a dead miner.
And we were able, because of the quick action, if they were going to hide anything, it didn't work. The majority of the people were shot in the back. You can't be defending yourself by shooting people in the back.
George Bezos also came out strongly against the xenophobic violence which erupted in South Africa. After the 2015 outbreak, he said that the late former President Nelson Mandela would have been ashamed of what was happening. His most difficult period was when he lost 3 of his best friends, Nelson Mandela, former Chief Justice Arthur Chaskalson, and Nobel laureate Nadine Gordimer, in the space of 2 years. Bezos says it was Mandela's widow, Graca Machel, who encouraged him to keep fighting the good fight.
And speaking to Graca Machel, I said, well, I suppose one of these days the bell will toll for me. I said, stop. These friends of yours are watching you. Continue doing what you've done all your life. And this is why you see me at the Legal Resources Center at the end of Marikana. And it's not the end for us, because we have to do something about the compensation of the people that were affected.
The Saheti Greek School in Johannesburg was very close to his heart. He was the founding chairman and later named honorary life vice president. In the school's early years in the 1970s, Bezos broke down racial barriers even then. He recalls a visit from a Greek businessman.
He said, "I have married a black woman out of the country. We have a daughter of four. We've built a tall wall around the house. We take our holidays overseas, but travel on different planes so that the child doesn't say mommy and daddy. We know about the school. Please take."
But that decision was to put him on a collision course with the school's board.
Said, "Mr. Chairman, are we such unworthy members of the board? That decision is breaking the laws of South Africa without being consulted." And I said, "I did not think it necessary to call an extraordinary meeting to admit the great-grandchild of Barbaranasi." What?
For George Bezos, hanging up his robe was never an option.
Do you ever think that you would come to a point when you've had enough and go back to your vegetable garden?
Well, I was a child. Part of the entertainment on a Sunday would be a gypsy with a bear with an iron in the nose. They would wrestle. And sometimes the bear got excited and the people would say, "Let her go, let her go." And his answer would be, "I would let her go, but she won't let me go."
To those who knew him, George Bezos was a humble Greek soul who adopted South Africa as his home and created a legacy of hope and triumph over adversity while committing his life to the fight for justice for all. I'm Candice Nolan in Johannesburg.